You are listening to The Pulse, Rod Murray's e-learning tech podcast, formerly Rod's Pulse Podcast, number 89.
Hi, this is Rod Murray. Glad to be back. That was a clip from one of my favorite bands from the 70s, Emerson, Lake & Palmer. The song From the Beginning will be played in full at the end of my podcast. It was a live performance from one of their last tours in 1998. I think Greg Lake's voice is a little bit more gravelly than it was back in the 70s, but I think you may still enjoy it. As mentioned last month, I'm very pleased that my podcast is now being sponsored by Inside Higher Ed, the online source for news, opinion, and jobs for all of higher education. I'm going to continue using my usual format to bring you the latest news, insights, and interviews about e-learning technology, and also some new PodSafe music each month. Well, I'd like to move on to my main topic today, social media and education. First of all, what is social media? Most of you probably know by now, but as Wikipedia says, it's media for social interaction using highly accessible and scalable publishing techniques. Social media uses web-based technologies to turn communication into interactive dialogues. So we're talking about systems like Facebook, like Twitter, like Wikipedia, for example, and many others. Before I get to today's interview, I'd like to share my bookmarks with you that I've made on social media and education. Speaking of social media, I use Delicious to share bookmarks. That's a free service. Makes it very easy to bookmark your web pages as you're surfing and share them with anybody. So you can see my list of 87 annotated bookmarks at delicious.com/rodspulsepodcast/social media. One of the most valuable sites I found was the 2010 Pearson Social Media Survey. Pearson Publishing surveyed over 900 faculty customers, so it may not be a perfectly random survey, but it gave up some pretty interesting information. Here are some tidbits from the survey that I'll share with you. As you might guess, they said that social media in the classroom creates a more engagement and participation with adult learners. And it's also a good way for professors to promote what they teach as well as to keep learners involved. Some of the more specifics were that faculty that teach online are in the lead for using social media. And there's also a higher use among humanities than other fields. In terms of which social media tools they use, in communicating with their peers, faculty use Facebook the most, then LinkedIn, then Skype, then YouTube. In communicating with their students, however, it was a different order. They use mostly YouTube, then Facebook, then Skype, then LinkedIn. Some of the themes that they identified from open responses from their faculty survey takers was that, quote, it helps to extend the classroom. It helps to talk to the students in the language they're using. It breaks up the class. It's good for review and reinforcement. But certainly, it's not the primary means of teaching. The survey also gave some statistics about some of the social media sites. You probably know a lot of this already. For one, Facebook has gotten a lot of attention lately because of the movies, The Social Network. There are well over 500 million users on Facebook, and they say that 50% log in at least once per day. Twitter has probably over 200 million users by now, although, as folks have said, many of those users are asleep at the mouse. YouTube certainly is very, very popular. It's a great way to share videos. It has over 1 billion views per day. LinkedIn. Now, LinkedIn is, I think of it as more of a social network for business or not so much for your personal friends, but they have over 60 million registered users now in LinkedIn. And certainly there are tons of blogs out there. There's a group called Blog Pulse, which tracks blogs, and they say that there are over 126 million blogs out there. Anyway, I thought it was a very informative presentation from Pearson Publishing. As always, I'm going to share the links to all the resources I discuss on my show notes, which are located at www.rodspulsepodcast.com. Today, I'm going to be interviewing Brian Hughes. He's the Associate Director of Design, Publishing, and Service at Teachers College Library of Columbia University. We're going to try to answer some of the questions. What are the best way to use social media for novice faculty? Has it been shown that social media improves learning? And what is the best way to prepare faculty to use social media for teaching? So without further ado, here's my interview with Brian. Brian, thanks a lot for agreeing to talk to me today for my podcast. And I've told my audience that you're at the Teachers College of Columbia University. I wonder if you could tell me a little bit about yourself.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm at the Academic Library at the Graduate School of Education at Columbia University, which is Teachers College. And I've been in this position for about 5 years now. We're doing a lot of exciting things with technology and teaching and tools at our library for our university and beyond.
Listen, I was wondering, you know, the topic today is social media and education, and I know that can mean a lot of things to people. I know one area of interest is how institutions of higher learning use social media to attract students and how they use it in their marketing. But I think what I'm interested in today really is for our faculty and how faculty might use social media to better engage their students. What can you tell me about the best ways for faculty to use social media?
Great question. Increasingly an interesting topic as there are more social media available and more faculty doing interesting things with it. From our perspective here in the library, we see some interesting things going on. One is that faculty are increasingly going outside of the college, of course, to find and use these tools. So, for example, you have the trifecta, the TFI, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube tools. And those are, of course, not hosted at the college. They're, quote unquote, real world tools. They're available by commercial entities. And, you sign away all kinds of interesting rights when you use them. So what we're seeing are, teachers, faculty here at the university choosing to do that with their students and classrooms. And that, when you stand back, that's kind of an interesting choice. Because, previously the IT groups at colleges like ours, are there to set up new technologies and establish technologies in a safe way, quote unquote, which means legally safe and but also a safe environment for students to experiment in and to do learning in. So with the increased use of these more public technologies, it's both exciting but dangerous at the same time, I think.
Now, does the library use social media in any way?
What we try to do is walk the line between promoting the use of the more public tools, which we do use ourselves as an organization. Again, you mentioned for marketing and just for general outreach, we have a Twitter account, we have a Facebook account. But for actual teaching and for kind of educational experience, what we've tried to figure out is how to host or create tools that are similar or accomplish similar goals as using some of those other, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube tools would do. And then I'd say that's one of our big focuses right now, which on the one hand, you could say, well, that's just kind of trying to keep up. But on the other hand, what being developers in the library allows us to do is to tweak and hone tools to be better suited for education. And I think that's really where the work we do here gets interesting, because we can look at the analytics, look at all the data that is created when users use these tools, and really trying to figure out what's happening from an educational perspective.
Speaking of collecting data on that, how would you go about, just I guess from a technical point of view, how do you collect data on these external social media tools?
So actually, what I was talking about is like when we make tools ourselves that might be similar to those other tools, we are able to collect more data. YouTube allows you some good data, some good analytics tools. So that's kind of intriguing. I think professors probably make use of that once they get, if they really tie kind of YouTube video activities into their curriculum, they probably look at analytics, or they should. and see how different things perform. But Facebook and Twitter, that's much more inaccessible right now. And that's where, you know, I think using tools that are hosted or created by the university has some promise. I think, you know, the potential is for faculty to learn a lot more about what their students actually do. So a good example of that would be course platforms. And, you know, that's not a social media per se, but teachers do have the abilities to look at analytics of those tools and see how their students are doing, see what their students do, and be more sophisticated users of the data. And as those tools incorporate more social media-like properties, whether they're like internal blogging-like tools, you can start to see the bridge being built between the data that a professor has access to and the content being able to actually be social and go out into the world and be available to people outside the university.
I guess another question I have, if, you know, being in the library, I'm sure you've researched this, has it been shown that social media really improves learning?
It's a great question. I mean, I don't think we're there yet to really be able to know that. It's a couple interesting ways to look at that kind of question. So one is, you know, what are we counting as learning? And this is the hardest, most time-worn question. You know, is it the vocational aspect of our educational goals? Are they our liberal arts aspects, liberal arts aims? Actually, there's a great example where second language learning programs are using different kinds of like blogging platforms, I think, at a higher rate these days, because there's such great chances to communicate outside the classroom with, say, natural speakers. But I think the more exciting thing for me is that as faculty become more sophisticated users of social media, it provides a great medium for having a kind of authentic learning, for opening students up to communication and engagement and criticism with people outside the classroom. And at the same time, I think that's the hardest thing for teachers to probably incorporate into their curriculum, kind of easier to say, well, you know, you're going to do work in my classroom and I'm going to evaluate you. It's more complicated to say you're going to do work in this class and me and X number of people who may or may not be at the university are going to evaluate you and your ideas. And then we're going to come back and look at what happened. Right. But I think one of the most exciting things is it really makes, it provides an opportunity for learning to be more authentic in the sense of engaging a broader community of people. And I think that can lead to motivational issues too, where, you know, something I do in the classroom can exist beyond the classroom, both now and in the future. And that hasn't always been the case. You know, oftentimes you'll write something for the class or make something for a project in a class, and then the last thing you can kind of do with it is turn it in and it's evaluated, but it doesn't go out into the world and have kind of a life of its own.
I think social media is one of those things that eventually will be so incorporated into our, hopefully, into our daily teaching routine that it'll sort of fade away as an issue. And I think the learning management systems are headed in the right direction, but they're usually very closed, and it'd be nice to be able to, on a course-by-course basis, to be able to throw a switch and let the students benefit from feedback from across the world, really.
Yeah, that's right, and I think you make an important point, which is that starts to kind of erode the boundary between social media on the one hand, but just open education on the other. And, you know, it's not clear that those two aren't separate things. They are very similar, especially as we can make strides towards opening up learning experiences into kind of more and more open formats. You know, by default is a social, more social medium.
That's right. I happen to have a teenage daughter, and, you know, she's very disturbed when she sees adults like us, you know, impinging on their Facebook. You know, sometimes I think they want to keep that as a separate social medium, and I can't blame them. You know, they don't want to have their teachers necessarily looking over their shoulder. On the other hand, I think there are certainly applications that are evolving that do the same thing and help to improve learning. I guess one of the questions I had for you is, you know, what's the best way to prepare faculty to use social media? I'm always asked by our faculty, you know, there's this smorgasbord, so to speak, of tools out there, and where can they get the most bang for their buck if they want to start using some of these tools? Do you have any suggestions for them and how we can best prepare our faculty?
You know, it's exciting whenever a new faculty person wants to kind of dive in and try new things. And so you don't want to lose that momentum. And the first thing, you know, I think I hope a faculty person is doing is using the social media on their own. And they're familiar with it, and then they kind of intuitively grasp both the potential and the shortcomings of different platforms. So, you know, it is important, thinking of your daughter, it's important for the faculty person already to know what it's like to be a Facebook user and why being a certain kind of Facebook user is important to someone. And it would be a misstep to jump into a particular software, you know, just because it's available and it seems to be a great fit for a certain educational task. You kind of have to understand the culture that's already grown up around those tools. And YouTube's another great example where, you know, YouTube very much has kind of a multicultural, but it, you know, has many cultures and subcultures within the use of it. And you know, to use it well, you have to be pretty familiar with different stuff that's already going on there. So one kind of strand would be to have faculty just start working on their own identity online, really trying to engage different tools and figure out, you know, what they can personally gain from the different social platforms. Probably a prudent step is just to see what's available at, you know, your institution and what kind of tools, you know, whether it's the IT department or the library, has already given some thought about, you know, how those more social tools might be introduced into the classroom. I think provide really like the first inspiration for how a faculty member might use a blog or a multi-author blog, how a faculty might use a hash in Twitter and ask students to walk the line between using Twitter for their personal life, but also now their school life.
Well, you know, you touched on a philosophy that I think I've had, and that is it's not always the best way to help faculty by giving them a workshop on a specific tool, but I've been of the philosophy to promote the use of some of these tools for the faculty themselves to do their own collaborating with, you know, find collaborators and researchers and so on. So they get to see the utility, and then they, you know, sometimes then the light bulb goes off and they see how they can start using this for their own students.
Yeah, that would be the best.
Well, listen, I want to thank you for your time. I think we, you know, hopefully stimulated some interest among our listeners, and I will definitely have some links on my show notes to some resources that I think might be useful. And again, I really appreciate your time, and thanks for talking to us.
Great, thank you.
I hope you learned more about the advantages of social media. Brian also wanted me to tell you about two current library projects that he's been involved with. One's called Vialogs, and one's called Pressable. These illustrate the kind of university-made social media application that he mentioned. Pressable is a network of sites that are optimized to display and share educational content, while Vialogs is a video sharing and collaboration tool. Users can upload videos, create discussions, and add comments, and of course view the videos. See the links in my show notes at rodspulsepodcast.com. So stay tuned for From the Beginning by Emerson, Lake, and Palmer. Until next time, have a great week.
That's it for today's episode. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget to give Rod feedback. You can leave comments on his blog, send email to rod@rodspulsepodcast.com, or leave audio feedback on his comment line at 610-616-2199. The preceding audio commentary is the product of the author, Dr. Rodney Murray, and does not represent the official viewpoint of the University of the Sciences or any other institution or company.